right, guys, we are back for the 61st episode of the 443 podcast. My name is Matt, and I am always joined by my colleague Reese from a dreary North Phoenix, you'd say.
Yeah, it's getting cloudy.
Winter has come.
Matt, we have a lot to talk about, I feel like, today. A lot of drama on and off the pitch, and maybe a stoppage time question or two I may have as well. You want to just jump right into it?
Yeah, let's kick off with a game I didn't really watch, but I got pieces of it from you. Let's go into Chelsea-Newcastle. What happened at Stamford Bridge?
Yes,
and why do you want to burn it to the ground and recreate Jose Mourinho statue in front of it?
Yeah, Chelsea 2, Newcastle 1. The vibes aren't there from what I see as a neutral, you know, as a spectator of this game. I think they need to make Stamford Bridge great again. You know what I'm saying? Matt got a hat recently, guys, that is not politically related. It's just a tail on.
Well,
but
it is to my tribe in the English Premier League.
But he did get
some emotions simmering in me, folks. The calm one lately. This season has taken its toll on me.
And we'll get to Arsenal, but he does have a make Arsenal great again hat, which I find very funny. But into this game, guys. Very fun game to watch, I would say. Chelsea did sort of have dominant possession windows, like where they would hold the ball for about 15, 20
minutes.
Because
right before Nico scored, you had told me that Cole Palmer had scored because I was walking the dog.
Yeah, and that goal was called off due to offside. But dude, and I'm going to say this in every single game, I bet, but the reffing was horrible for both teams. Should have been a penalty for Chelsea to make it 3-1 with the Nkunku foul. Not a clear and obvious error. So it may have not been a foul, but when you call the foul and it's not a clear and obvious error, you can't reverse the call. Their words, not mine.
Crystal Palace's and Tottenham's game was not reffed well.
Yeah. Your game was not reffed well.
I would go like 49-51 ref bad. I mean, I look at it from that perspective of if the calls have gone our way, but calls haven't gone our way all year. But Nico Jackson scored an amazing goal. And then I came home to the Izak goal to him celebrating.
Yes.
All right. So we were talking about Izak's goal before Paco decided to play cat burglar or dog burglar and try to break into something out in the other part of the house.
So we were talking about the Izak goal and, you go 1-1 against a very dangerous Newcastle side like that, who, although they haven't been playing well, haven't won their last five games, still a frightening high-quality team. And Chelsea come out of the second half.
You were kind
of
down on them last week. Are they looking better? Because Arsenal play them next, and I'm interested to see how this goes.
They were outplayed, I would say, by Chelsea overall, but they just have good windows.
Okay. So they're like, we'll get into the Liverpool.
I've seen Newcastle fans say that they are not happy with the midfield trio that they are using, which is Bruno, Tonali, and Joelinton.
Wasn't that the trio they had when they waited to the Champions League?
Well, exactly. But I guess with Tonali coming back and maybe him sort of not having the greatest start, Maybe look at a former Arsenal player, Joe Willock, to get back into the lineup. He looked good for the few minutes that he was on, or at least Joelinton looked better as well.
Yeah, I think Willock can serve a function on that team.
For sure.
Because he is a classic kind of box-to-box guy, and I really want him to do well because I was so happy when he got that move to Newcastle, but I didn't know they were going to get bought by Saudi Arabia, and they were going to drop like a couple $100 million into the team. Yeah. And their purchase of Joe Willock now seems small, but before it was a huge investment, $20 million on a team that barely spent money on players.
I feel like adjustments have needed to be made. I've been saying Eddie Howe out for a while. Last two things for me on this game, Newcastle terrible defending for that Cole Palmer second goal. None of them stepped to it. It went near post right to Nick Pope's hands. Just a little bit worrying there defensively. And then two, I do think after watching how many games? 9 games of Premier League football. I think Caicedo's been the best midfielder in the league this season, defensive midfielder in the league this season. I just want people to pay attention to it, and then once they do, he will have a flop game, and then we all go back to wondering why we paid $100 million.
I told you Caicedo would be good.
But
hey, I got an intro for the next game. Let me know when you're ready to go.
I'm going to let Matt intro this next game, guys. Credits to Chelsea.
So, guys, before we start, one of the two teams in this West Ham 2, Manchester United 1, has been called out by San Marino because they think they can get an easy win, their third win in period, off of this Manchester United team. But things have changed. They have sacked Erik ten Hag after this game and have brought in the new sporting manager to replace him, according to Ornbaum, right?
It's not done yet, but okay. It is. Ornstein has reported that they are willing to pay the release clause, which is $10 million, and they are also going to have to pay out Ten Hag, but this is $10 million.
Yeah. Well, I was hoping with Ten Hag that they were going to avoid it, because like all their penny pinching now seems really stupid when you have to pay him after you signed him. When if you're going to go get the sporting guy, go get him at the off season and do all this stuff. Like,
it's too late, and I think they trusted Ten Hag a little too much after that FA Cup win.
They should have put something in this new contract that by certain dates and metrics that they aren't meeting, they should just be able to let him go with a minimum payment.
Yeah. Now, let's get in the game before we talk, managers, just out of respect for West Ham fans as well. Oh, I got us
great
a little,
game for Lopetegui. Yes, Lopetegui ball came back.
I got a little summary here, Matt. You jump in when you feel you feel you're ready.
I watched bits and pieces of this one.
Yeah. And I watched this game a little bit in depth.
Yeah,
so,
I had it on my phone while I was getting ready to watch the getting ready to watch the Arsenal game.
Yeah, this was a...
I was watching Crystal Palace Tottenham at the same time.
This game was crazy, man. United played so well in the first half. Garnacho had two goal-scoring opportunities, and then Dalot had the miss of the season so far, I would say, with the wide-open goal. All he had to do was volley right down the middle of the net. He skies it. Kind of feels like the players are just maybe missing on purpose. No, I'm kidding.
No, so what I noticed about this was the really weird game for Ten Hag to lose his job.
Yeah. Because I didn't think it was the right time
because
of this, how well they played in that first half. But Lopetegui did make adjustments in the second half, and that's where I think Ten Hag lacked. And
yes,
it became a very even 50-50 game at that time.
But it was funny because it's like in a wind vacuum, this game shouldn't have been the one that cost him his thing. This was just luck at the end of the game on West Ham's side.
For sure.
They did start to look bad in the second half, but it's one, you know.
Had a lot of opportunities.
Just like I didn't think Emery deserved to lose his job at the time he did. I was like, wait till the end of the season. And then he lost his job. And it was just like, but it's the culmination of everything. And it's like they're paying him. He got a raise because he won two cups.
Yeah. And I just, when you don't make adjustments coming out of the second half, maybe that's what tipped them over, Ineos over, where they're like, we don't want this guy anymore. But again, I'm with you, man. It just felt a little weird.
They're 14th in the table, right?
We could check after. I'll have to see. But in that regard, you know, Crescencio Somerville with the great 74th minute goal, and then Bowen with the penalty. Bad refereeing, Matt. Did you think that West Ham United penalty was a penalty?
No, I think Erik ten Hag deserved to have his comments after the game. And right now, guys, they went from 12th to 14th after this loss.
Yeah, but that was not a deserved loss. Definitely not a penalty. I did predict Bowen to score, but just not in a cheesy way like this.
Well, and what's funny is that he got so mad when Arsenal got some goal against him. He talked about it for like 6 months after. And I remember that was one of the things that just annoyed me, because it's like, you just lost. Why are you bringing up Arsenal? But he didn't get as mad. And I went back and watched the original press conference. He didn't get as mad as he did at this game, when this to me was the thing. Like, you need to get momentum back on your side as a manager. I think he watched the kingdom crumbling around him and he was done.
Yeah, let's talk.
Sorry, man. I didn't plan to play footsie with you.
Okay, let's talk about.
Or Kneesy, I think that's what it was.
Let's talk about the Ten Hag sacking now. As we said, we both agree that this was a weird time to be sacked in terms of the game itself. But who do you look towards? So we have a couple options. Graham Potter, Xavi has been mentioned as well, the former Barcelona coach and player.
Southgate,
yes. And then the one that Ornstein has dropped, which was the Ruben Amorim hiring, who is the manager of Sporting currently, who has a $10 million release clause.
It depends on their goal.
Yeah.
If it's long-term to make this club and they're going to give him 3 to 4 years, they're going to give him signings in the window. All this cost-cutting is designed to help this manager out. I say give it to Xavi. If yours is to give it to somebody who you can pay a little bit of money to give them something on their CV, to just get them maybe a year and a half till they can absolutely figure out what they want to do and get the backroom under control and figure out what to do with these inflated contracts, I say give it to Southgate. Because at least Southgate will give you a non-toxic locker room for a few years. But if you're going to win, you want somebody to come in and do a Maresca, a Pep, an Arteta, or something like that, I recommend giving it to Xavi.
Wow.
It just depends on what you want to do. If this was just like, F this guy, get him out, I don't want to see his bald head anymore kind of thing, and then you don't have a plan, my plan would be to have somebody kind of sift through this tension and stuff, and
sort of like how Pochettino did for a season.
Yeah.
Graham Potter did for Chelsea.
Yeah,
well.
It just depends on what your goal you want to do. If you're going to pull the trigger, I say give it to Xavi. Because I don't know the sporting director that much. I want to go see that team play. That's one of my goals when I go to Lisbon, is to go see the green and the white play. Because I always kind of like green and white teams.
I'm a Celtics fan.
Yeah. If I'm going to go to Scotland, I'm going to go see Celtic play.
I agree with you in the sense that where are United at in their plan? And if it is cost saving and wanting to build for the future, kind of like how Chelsea and Arsenal have done, then I kind of agree with you. I don't think going with Amorim or Xavi right now is the right move.
It just depends on what your goals are.
Yeah, because
Arsenal didn't know what their goals were when they hired Emery.
Yeah, and Manchester United is in like a state now where if they mess up this hiring and they don't show a true sort of identity in their build-up play or anything like that, or identity in the transfer market even, because the last several signings have been Ten Hag signings. They've looked like Ten Hag guys, mm-hmm. You know, Dutch players.
One quarter of their squad is ex-Ajax players.
Exactly. So it's like, you guys have to sporting directors have to take it into their own hand at this time.
Or people that were targeted by Ajax that he failed to get as Ajax manager. And he picked up, I think one of them was like somebody they picked up that didn't really work out too well.
Yeah. I'm with you. I don't think it should be Southgate because I hate him. But I think that's a...
But see what you will about Southgate. So do you remember how England used to be before Southgate took over?
Really quickly. I agree with you, though. It should be some sort of veteran manager that can sift them through this process. Yeah.
But when Southgate took over, the England team was toxic. I actually thought about being an England fan, but it was always North versus South, kind of like Real Madrid versus Barcelona in Spain. And he needed somebody to come in and just cut through the mess and sort things out. And now they have a great locker room culture where the only blip is Ben White, who just didn't want to, seemed like he just didn't want to be talked down to by some guy and made the butt of jokes when he's obviously a phenomenal player.
And again, I agree with you.
That's toxic leadership. Yeah.
he sort of managed those egos of all those players because this is technically the next golden boy, quote unquote, generation of England. So I agree with you.
I know you don't like Southgate, but of the options available, I think he would be a good one to come in. Yeah, back him. You do what you want and you expect him to figure it out.
You know how messed up it would be if they just brought in Graham Potter, man? I feel like that would just be setting him up
Him. Because I think Southgate's got that back-to-back World Cup and Euro. And Euro, right? Euro, World Cup, Euro they went?
Euro final, World Cup final, Euro final.
Yeah. Even though you win anything, that's still an impressive thing to do.
Yeah. Not to me. But to the general public, yes.
Well, I'm saying if you're putting together a CV and you're looking...
It looks good on your resume.
Yeah, it looks good on your resume. That's what I'm saying. I don't think they predict the highest of them, but I think if you don't know what you're going to do, you at least don't want things to get toxic and bad.
Yeah, the worry I have with Amorim is I like the way his formation, style, identity of football is. I'm worried because he is young, and if they do not give him time to grow... Then or Manchester United fans don't give him time to grow and make mistakes as
a
manager.
They're angry right now.
Yeah, if they don't give him time to make mistakes, this Emery won't be the right hiring either.
Sorry about that, guys. Have you heard that?
And just so United, we'll keep an eye on you guys. Credit to West Ham, another resilient performance. Lopetegui, I still think you guys need to change the way you're playing football.
But real quick, early stoppage time. Is he Portuguese, the sporting manager?
Yes, yes.
Okay, well, I mean...
From what I've heard, he sounds actually Cristiano.
Okay. Well, I mean, that would be a good thing for their in my opinion, their best player, to have a Portuguese manager, Portuguese whisperer.
So, and you're speaking of Bruno, right? And
yeah, so, Fernandes.
Yeah, the formation is a 3-4, 2-1, or a three at the back, five at the back sort of style of play. Could have De Ligt, Yoro. You know, they'll have options for center backs. I'm interested to see that midfield. Are they going to have Mainu finally paired up with somebody viable? Or I don't know. That midfield's a problem with me.
You want to do a mini touch on two really cool games that happened before we jump into the Arsenal thing?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so let's first up go and check in on Brentford. Thomas Frank's Brentford 4 facing Ipswich Town 3. This game, whew, barn burner. Let me tell you the XG for Brentford, 4.10. Guess Ipswich's XG.
3.8.
1.66.
Oh, gosh. I feel Brentford so bad. Brentford
had 20 shots.
I feel so bad for Ipswich. They went from 2-0 up to 3-2 down to 3-3 draw to a 4-3 heartbreaker type of goal to concede as well. It was sad to see.
Brentford, dude, this game didn't start kicking until right before halftime.
Yeah, and Ipswich was actually the first team to score first against Brentford in what feels like
forever. Sorry, they got two goals up first. Yeah, my apologies.
But credit to Brentford. They've been so fun to watch this season and have given pretty much every team a game that they've played against, win or lose. So I'm excited to see who they play next.
It's really interesting to see them buckle and then bounce back and then buckle and then win. I mean, I got to this was an all-action recap, 7 minutes of pretty much just goals from like 18 minutes on.
Matt's mother, I apologize, and I'm with you.
What?
Isn't she an Ipswich fan?
Yes, yeah. Yes. Sorry to Mrs. Lloyd. But at least she had a fun game to watch, from what my dad tells me. And the next one I want to touch on is the game I watched to start the day on Sunday. Crystal Palace won. Glasner getting his first Glasner hello over Tottenham Hotspur.
1-0.
Yep, 1-0 in South London.
Yes. This was a worse performance than what they had against Leicester even. I don't even know what to say what Spurs were looking like in that game. It was depressing to see. Yeah.
And what sucks is because all the goals were taken back, like blocked by refs, the two goals I saw get taken away, the XG Crystal Palace had is only 0.98, less than one goal when they had two. But because they were clear chances taken back by the referee, it was just undone. So they don't look that great on paper. But they really bossed this game in the second half.
I was so happy to see Mateta get back on the score sheet with his little signature karate kick of the corner flag and then flexing his freaking built-ass body. No pause. That dude is a
freaking, I'm enjoying it.
He's a freaking tank, dude.
Man is a statue.
Yes, sir.
In cleats.
The little flick on from Eze to Mateta as well was nice to see. And I'm with you. 4-0, this should have easily been, it felt like.
I'm worth 3 or 2, but they shouldn't 7-0. Have worried. They shouldn't have had to worry. They shouldn't have had to fret. They shouldn't have had to do crazy defending at the end of the game to keep our Tottenham, who constantly attack the net, at bay. This should have been an easy, you know, Tottenham would have had to do a masterclass instead of them living in fear.
Postecoglou has to go back to his old ways. He needs to get Son back in this lineup, and he needs to either put him at that 9 position because Solanke has not been looking good so far. And that's okay.
Well, I mean, he looked good 2 games back.
Yes.
Right before the international break, he looked good.
Yeah, it just seems like since then he hasn't been kicking on.
He hasn't kicked on since then, but you ready to get into the game of the weekend?
The game of this first half of the season. Arsenal at home, Emirates.
I think the City game was better.
Either way, at the Emirates, yeah, Arsenal sorry. Arsenal 2, Liverpool 2. In my opinion, Matt, can I kick this one off? You know,
I vented to you over the phone. If you want to ask me questions about the receipts I gave you, I will take them. I was in a mood this morning, guys. I had a lot of angry people calling me, and I was just reading news about possible injuries, and it was just making me mad. Seeing Don Robbie roster wrap. Good, but I didn't need it.
Yeah. Let me jump into the game
first. For an amateur. Yeah, no, kidding. He was a professional at one point.
Let's jump into the game first, then we'll talk the opinions here. So, Saka scoring 10 minutes basically into the game. Arsenal saving grace. He can be out for 6 months, comes back, and still scores a goal. It's crazy.
The guy is held together by toothpicks and duct tape, and he can still take apart Robertson.
Exactly.
Weakest link in Liverpool's team, actually, to be honest with you guys. Yeah,
right now, for sure. 10 minutes later, a vintage Van Dijk in a big game, it feels like. He always just comes up clutch. The celebration was cold, too, just seeing all the Arsenal fans dwindle in their sorrow behind him. Even Matt dwindling in his sorrow at the time.
Tom watched me when that goal went in.
Tom is Matt's brother.
My brother Thomas watched me, and he's just like, you look like Paco just passed away. Like, I'd never seen you that sad. And I'm like, yeah, man, shit happens. And I tried to smile, but it was a fake smile.
I feel that, man. But luckily, shortly before half, in a big debut goal for him, Mikel Merino scoring right before half. What I put in my notes here, Matt, was Arsenal's set-piece routines and size are just unstoppable. You guys take advantage of every single point of attack.
But the team we learned it from that kind of started, like, this trend was added to our toolbox.
Yep.
Still did them too. Van Dijk did that just at the 18th minute.
Yeah.
It was like watching a, I don't want to say diminished because Liverpool's still good, but you can kind of tell that the some of the pieces are old in the team.
Doesn't it feel like, and I hate using this word, I like to say energy in place of it, but like, it just feels like Liverpool's aura is just still keeping them above water at this time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's no, the presence of those point, whatever four you or five. Use. Yeah, the energy, whatever.
The aura.
The four or the, five players that have been on that team that are still the core of that team, that's sort of what's been keeping them up, except for Andy Robinson. Yeah.
Well, and we'll get into it in the final goal, that the equalizer, when we get into it. But Van Dijk looks like he can be Virgil van Dijk of a few years ago, about 70% of a game.
Yep.
Trent didn't look great in this game, and I'm worried that, like, we'll get into this in a little bit, but Real Madrid got their butts kicked this weekend, and I'm a little worried that they're going to go to the Premier League defenses and pick them apart this season. They're looking at Trent, and they're looking at Saliba.
For sure, and we'll see what type of funds they have, especially after not showing up to their Met Gala event of the Ballon d'Or.
Well, it's got to be a couple million they can save.
That's what I'm saying. True. But and then into the second half, I did think Arsenal were a little bit reserved in possession at points, but they still dominated the game possession-wise, or at least that's what it felt like. And then a vintage Salah, you know, a vintage ball from Trent to Salah, or from Trent to Darwin, mm-hmm. who sets up a vintage Salah goal. Sorry.
Well, what's funny is when I watched this game, I saw an Arsenal team that looked like they were bossing the game, and Liverpool only had about three or four times where they looked good. And there was a counterattack, the set piece, and a couple plays at the beginning of the second half that kind of ripped Arsenal apart for a little bit, and that makeshift defense they had. Looking at the numbers, though, it was a really close-run game when I look at it in numbers, because I was on these big games, I can't really watch them. It's not like an Arsenal versus Southampton where I can look at it tactically. I'm looking at this emotionally, and this is the game, the City game, and the Brighton game. And the Aston Villa game, or the four games this season.
The Bournemouth game as well, maybe.
No, I didn't watch that one with emotion. One I was watching tactically until the entire thing fell apart.
Gotcha.
And then I was kind of sad, and then I was just like, oh my goodness, without Saliba there. Yeah, they're struggling. That was analytical, then emotional, then analytical again. This was all emotion, and I didn't really get to... I got bits and pieces of it. Like, I was just like, man, Trent looks like shit. Like, you know... But that might have been in the moment. Remember that game I said where somebody looked really good and then they got a red card?
Yeah, and it was Casemiro. Mm-hmm. I'm with you, man. And that's what the tough thing is about separating the two. It sucks watching the highlights the day after just because you're about to do another review of it as well.
That's why I can really respect somebody like Rebecca Lowe, who, you know, as a Crystal Palace fan, she was hyped. And then she went through the entire thing. She didn't really do a good job of like doing the Arsenal-Liverpool game, but she didn't know that the woman probably like threw a coffee cup at a wall and like was like, you're doing the Sue.
No, seriously. Now, Matt, first question to you. Can you tell me what the hell happened in the 90th minute with the ball flying towards the goal, Anthony Taylor calling a foul the other way? Kai Havertz sends a center back into the goal.
Yeah, and then they start debating it, and who got the yellow card after the fact?
Not Kai Havertz. It was a midfielder.
Trossard.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I honestly don't know what happened at that point. The emotional sorrow of realizing the game was done and we couldn't get anything back kind of overwhelmed me. I really wasn't paying attention. I was like, why did he get in a yellow?
Yeah. Matt, let's get into it here. So I was texting Matt earlier today. And again, guys.
Don Robbie triggered me.
Yes. Again, guys, it is Monday, first day of the week, of the work week. So I'm taking this with a little bit of grain of salt. But I'm interested now. We're face to face, locked eyes.
Some emotions. Yes. Reese is my therapist today, guys. So unfortunately, I've given him receipts. So I'm going to have to answer for them right now.
Yeah. So basically, guys, let's start at the beginning here. Basically, Matt right now is a little bit, or at the time, was a little bit heated that because a lot of banter that you could say right now about the top five, Forest, you know, has a European trophy, Villa, you know, those teams.
Season, Forest put their trophies out when we came. This season, Villa put their trophies out when we came.
Arsenal, of course, do not have a European trophy yet, but I did tell Matt they are on the brink of achieving. Because basically, guys, Matt wants that big tier one title, the Premier League or the Champions League. He's seen the FA Cup. He's seen it several times in the last
decade. Four times.
It is time. He's ready for it. the issue is, Matt, we'll get into it, but he basically, Matt, I want to know where you're at now, a couple hours removed. Are you still feeling that? Because I don't want to say it yet, but he did say, if this is not achieved, I am Teta out after the season if one of those tier one trophies is not achieved.
So I'm going to steal something from Michael Davies from the Men in Blazers show from a few years back. He said he had delegates, like a Senate in his head.
Yeah.
And I have that, where the mega make Arsenal great again, Matt, has been building for a while.
Yeah.
Also in political life, I've becoming conflicted on certain things. But Rational Matt has now taken the helm. Don Robbie roster wrapping has faded from me.
Good.
I don't know why that set me off so bad. I just, the guy is kind of like the court jester who makes us look bad. Him and Piers Morgan make our fans look bad. There are many fans that Arsenal are intelligent TV, really. People yeah. that can discuss football. I discuss football with Tottenham fans on a tube, or Southampton fans on a train to, you know, Birmingham, in a nice, cordial manner. But these jokers make us look bad sometimes. Analytical smart Matt, the head of the delegates, has retaken the gavel. The insurrection of the thing is done. But if Arteta does not win, I do think they need to possibly look at vetting other managers to assess, be prepared to let him go for a club that wants him, like a Barcelona, a Real Madrid, or a Manchester City, who want him and are ready to change over to somebody who has a similar style, much like Slot did at Liverpool. Start looking at candidates now. I wasn't like completely Teta out, but I say let him run out his contract, but be prepared to let him go if somebody comes in with some big money for him. I don't know why I said money twice. That's where I'm at now. Before I was... I want a tier one trophy. Gosh darn it.
I'm with you, man. And the thing is...
And I'm picking that from your fans.
You say that the contract runs out, but he signed an extension...
Yeah, for two more years on top of this year.
I guess my question is, even let's say this season doesn't work out, we find out City is relegated or starts the season with negative 20 points.
Yeah.
Let's start there. You guys win the league. Does that fulfill that for you, knowing that the best team in the world?
Yes and no, but I know that teams are going to give us stick for it. Like, remember when we were talking about how Arsenal was under investigation for the 1996 Champions League final against Arsenal, and how, yes, we could say that we are on the tier of City and the tier of Aston Villa if we get that trophy back. But it is comes with an asterisk. You can make fun of us. Now you have to make fun of us specifically that we had to get it by legal means or default or the, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But it doesn't ring the same as being able to win it. Like, you know, Liverpool had that season where they got 99 points. If they get that title back, if this stuff goes down, then yeah, they get that title. They had 99 points, but
asterisks.
It doesn't matter. It has an asterisk by it. People are going to make fun of you. The Tottenhams, so the Aston Villas.
Let me counter this. So you win. Let's say you don't win the league when City have an off season to start. Let's say if it's a Spurs. No, not Spurs. Spurs is a little too north, too close to home. Let me back up. Let's say it's Liverpool that ends up winning the league first. Are you still saying that? Because at that point, then I'm with you. Because if the first team that should win the league when Pep leaves, or when City, whatever happens, it should be you guys. Are you basically saying start assessing your options before then?
Have a list.
Or after.
Have a list and be prepared, because if he does win, he may leave. I don't know if Barcelona is now the destination he wants to go to, but I'd say start being able to make some money off it.
Why do you think Arteta would leave? Why not stay at Arsenal for the rest of his career? Build him a statue and you know, I don't even know if he already has a statue as a player, but or anything like that.
I mean, he has connections to PSG, he has connections to City, he has connections to Barcelona.
He's got connections to Everton.
Yeah, I guess if you want to go if you want to go from a Lamborghini to a Chrysler 300.
Okay, but you see, I know Arsenal's the Lamborghini. What, are you saying Real Madrid's like a private jet or something? Come on, man. Like, I think Arsenal is still within that realm of teams where, if I feel like Arteta, this is his home as a player.
Yeah,
I think he would choose this over
Barcelona. I think there are paths or timelines where he does become the new Arsene Wenger. He brings that winning mentality, insanely grindy winning mentality. But when you're like that, have you ever worked for somebody who kind of has that like unstoppable grind in their soul, the will to like, like he's got a little bit of Sauron from Lord of the Rings, that will to dominate, that will to win at all costs. Have you ever worked for somebody with that?
No, but I know what you're talking about. And I feel like you're
it wears everyone down around them.
Your point is getting that if he does not achieve this goal here, he will look for that goal elsewhere.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean,
because like let's put a funny thing here. Bayern Munich right now in the Champions League looks like Vincent Kompany has no idea how to coach a Champions League team.
Yeah, he's
like, in the league, they're doing great. He understands league play, but he looks, by comparison, Arteta has years of Champions League coaching experience over Vincent Kompany.
Yeah. And
The Bayern Munich fans, two of them I talked to, are very upset about it. They're willing to let this go as a blip, but next season they expect to be in the final eight.
Let me end it here for you, man.
Okay.
Just to get you back down to being a happy Arsenal Goonie fan, okay? Little Goonie Goonerson, all right?
Take a flagpole's cops, Reese.
Arteta picked up the corpse of Arsenal, and he has made it a symbol again for
Londoners
and for you fans and for you Make Arsenal Great Again hat wearers. There's still a long way to go because the team is so young, but now you're at a point where you are at this very close of going over that hump.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Arteta is going to leave anytime soon when he has been this close. I think he wants to stick it out as an Arteta guy.
Yeah, and it's just this has been a really rough start to the season, man. I'm feeling what I felt when the All or Nothing show came on, that season where they lost to Tottenham. I'm feeling those emotions. You remember how broken up I was when Spurs beat us when
all
I was
Arsenal
at lunch
fans.
On a Tuesday?
All Arsenal fans, yes.
Dude, I took off work that day and ordered a pizza. I didn't finish the pizza. I got two slices in and they got the red card. And I was just done. My brother's like, what do you want to do with this food? I'm like, you can have it or I'm throwing it out. Like, I was done. I was a mess for the entire day. And to close out on this, because we do have to go over all the remaining games. I am in a better place, but this season with the three red cards, I think we have more red cards than any team in the league.
Comfortably, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm glad the Saliba one got down to a one card, and he will be back to face you guys and Newcastle. But
the highs are coming, Matt.
You're right. Maybe it is like
a draw to City, a draw to a Liverpool. You have one loss on the season. It's not going as bad as you think it is, man.
I know it's not.
It's
but
really not.
City is 5 points clear of us, they look like shit.
Yes, but that's the thing is they look like ass cheeks, but you guys are having a bunch of injuries, finally, because you haven't had this injury crisis before. Once you guys, your team's slowly coming back. You get Odegaard back in a few weeks now, right? I mean.
Yeah, it should be. We should have a full team barring no new injury, or not full team, but the main players back. Tomiyasu and Zinchenko are still unknown.
Squad players, too.
Yeah. But Odegaard, Saka. Well, Saka's already back, but I don't think Saka should have played the full 90 this weekend.
Arteta still come back in there. Yeah.
But
let's get into the games, Matt.
So I'll go over them as I got them in front of me. Yeah. We didn't cover Leicester versus Nottingham Forest.
This was back on Friday of last week. I guess this is
your boy.
I guess this is a derby, Matt. I did not know.
Yeah, it's a Midlands derby.
The Midlands derby.
It's a regional derby, like Ipswich versus Norwich.
And for a derby, Steve Cooper did not get this fucking team prepared enough.
We made it through this entire thing without cussing, and I went on. I was wearing a Make Arsenal Great Again hat, and we were talking about my depths of depression this morning, and you just dropped the bomb on me right there.
I'm sorry, but when you make the mistakes on two of three goals, the mistakes they made defensively.
So, guys, for the score, Nottingham Forest 3, Leicester 1.
The first goal that Nottingham Forest scored, Buenanote tries to dribble out from his own box, gets stuffed, goes right back to another Leicester player who cannot clear it. It was like a four-year-old tried to clear football, gets stuffed again, goes right to Ryan Yates, who's a vintage Forest little lad. He's been a little lad at Forest since he was a four-year-old. And he buries it, and he celebrates in front of your fans. Embarrassing. Second goal. Sorry. Jamie Vardy scores. Vintage Jamie Vardy. I'm sorry he's your manager. I'm getting tired of Steve Cooper. I'm sorry. I'm getting tired of Woop Faze, too. I'm getting tired of Woop Faze. Third goal.
What's a Woop Faze?
No, Woop Faze is one of the players on
the roster. Oh, gotcha.
Second goal, Forest score, a vintage Chris Wood poacher's goal. That goal is dope. You know, really not much you can do there. It was just a great striker's goal.
I just love that this game had two, like, the old school strikers in it.
Yeah.
Doing old school strikers.
Vintage Premier League, Barkley stuff right there. Mm-hmm. And then for the third
early
goal.
Early 2000s, out of the top four race.
Yeah.
Kind of Portsmouth mashing goals.
Well, then for the third goal, Matt, ball gets launched. The guy that's lined up to Woot Faze, let me see, Okoli. Ball bounces once. Woot Faze is like, hey, man, may want to head it clear since it's going towards our goalie and we have Chris Wood right behind us. Yeah, let me miss it completely. Doesn't even try to go for it. Woot Faze is like, okay, it bounced again. I guess I'll try and head it. Goes over his own goalie and Chris Wood's right there to finish it. Didn't you guys get this out in the championship? Didn't they get this out in the championship? This is a terrible defensive team. Vardy, I'm sorry for you. Buena Nota, well, I'm sorry crazy for you. Was
they were good under Maresca defensively.
Yeah, it's Harry Winks, I'm sorry for you. He's looked really good in this Leicester uniform. I don't know, but credit to Forest. I mean,
but are you ready to move on to the next game?
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
So the martyr Erling Haaland, Manchester City wins over Southampton 1-0. The sheer amount of rage that came out for him getting his shirt ripped kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And I'm still trying to be an adult here and not cuss.
Man, go fuck yourself.
The martyr, Erling Haaland.
Yes. This game could have been
I'm going to use that as his nickname for the rest of the season. The martyr. I'm going to call him that.
They could have
scored. The Christ-like figure, Erling Haaland.
They could have scored 4 or 5 goals in this game, City. Mm-hmm. It's crazy that it was only the
I couldn't believe it. When he let this goal in, they let this goal in under five minutes into the game. And I was up trying to get my bearings. This was kind of an early game. And I was like walking puck. I was like, ah, man. I just hit the road. My phone goes off. And I'm like, I got a 25-minute walk with the dog. I'm just going to do it. We had some adventures end to be in 35 minutes.
Nice.
A dog jumped the fence and tried to make friends with me and Paco. Scare the crap out of me.
Credit to City.
Matt. I couldn't believe when I got back from the walk, it was still 1-0.
Should have been 4 or 5. What's the next game?
All right, next up we have Brighton versus Wolves, a 2-2 draw.
Okay, so again, I'm going to fucking get pissed here at the Brighton team. So, Herzler, you know I like you, dude, but this was crazy. So, they go up. Go ahead, Matt.
So, guys, just for context, I used to be the one who cussed, and I had to watch myself, and Reese was like, hey, we need to keep it explicit, under explicit, guys. And now, Reese is just like, fuck it. I'm here for it.
Yeah, Brighton played well for about 78 minutes of this game. Literally 78 minutes of this game. Wolves had 7 shots on goal Wolves had a decent game. Brighton had a decent game, but they should have dominated this game. Welbeck scores. Evan Ferguson scores a goal in the 85th minute, 2-0 up. Matt, Ait Nouri scores a little deflection corner. I'm like, okay, cool. Then a counterattack for Brighton. There are 4-on-1 attack. One Wolves center back is there on his own in the 90th minute. He's like, oh, God, I'm fooked here.
It's like the scene in Game of Thrones when Jon Snow is standing up to the entire cavalry with his scabbard sword.
It's a sword up? Yeah. This dude's all by his lonesome. Ball gets passed to this Wolves defender somehow. You see all the Brighton fans.
I didn't watch this game. I'm loving this.
All the Brighton. You have to see this last goal, dude. The Brighton fans, you can see in their eyes. They all just sit right back down. Ball goes across the field, right to Mateus Cunha. Mateus Cunha takes 3 steps into the box and buries it.
Oh.
It was the. It might have been the heartbreak of the season, Matt. You have to see that last goal. Insane.
It's like that episode of The Simpsons where Bart pauses the video to watch Martin's heartbreak over and over again.
Literally, dude. It left me speechless. I'll have to show you it after we're done recording. It was crazy.
I'll find it. Yeah. I'm going to watch it tonight. I got some things to do after we get done with this because the weather doesn't look great, and I want to make sure Paco gets his long walk in.
Yes, sir. What's the next game for us?
All right, next up, we have Aston Villa 1, Bournemouth 1.
Again, Villa. I've been worried about this midfield. It was a very late, a lot of 90-minute goals this weekend. It was good to see Evan Nielsen get on the score sheet in the way he did for the clutch equalizer in the 90th minute, but Villa have questions.
Well, what's funny is, remember last week it was like the weekend of red cards? There's only one red card this weekend. I think the Premier League kind of realized that they were going a little too hard on this stuff.
Now is the weekend of 90-minute goals, dude. It's crazy.
Yeah, now is the weekend of 90-minute goals. But do you want to head into another game that I got to watch a piece of?
Let's do it.
All right, Everton 1, Fulham 1. Smith Rowe, my boy, got an assist to Iwobi again.
Iwobi against his
classic goal. And who scored it for Everton? Because that guy, like, is my tug of the heartstrings guy.
Beto, yes.
He cried, and I got a little
emotional there.
Yeah,
he felt that one.
If anyone wants to say he's not a man,
go up to him and say it. I dare you.
I dare you to. I'll back him up. I'll be like that old guy in The Wedding Singer. Like, I used to be stronger.
Oh my gosh. I agree with you. That Fulham goal was beautiful. Like the move from ESR from the half field line to the pass to Iwobi, who finished it near post.
The Everton goal was not beautiful because of what it was, but what it meant to the man who scored it.
Yeah.
It was like soulful, potent. You could see when that ball cleared the line, he was in a different place.
Nice. Credit to both teams here, Matt. What was the next game for us?
All right, next up, we did Crystal Palace, Spurs. I think we covered everything.
Oh, cool.
Because now we're just into the games we focused on.
Awesome, man. You want to jump right into these predictions?
Yeah, let's jump into the previews. Let's do it, baby. All right, so week 10 preview, Saturday, 5 a.m. The gods have cursed me again. Arsenal at Newcastle. I'm going out on a limb here with my heart.
Oh, man.
2-1 Arsenal is my prediction.
Thank God. I thought you were going to say some craziness.
No. I'm with my heart. The heart's taken over, not the I don't know, like, I guess my ass would be where the MAGA Arsenal fans live. Make Arsenal great again for anyone out there who's a
Matt
fan
is not,
of MAGA.
Matt is not a MAGA guy not a politically guy. Yeah. The MAGA is specifically for Arsenal.
Yeah, make Arsenal great
again. We are not publicly right-wing people. Thank you.
Yeah,
we're not
publicly endorsing any political party. You can make a good play on the name with Arsenal and the theme because America and Arsenal start with the same letter.
There you go.
What do you got on this game?
Yeah, Newcastle 4-0. No, I'm just kidding.
You were singing their praises today. And, like, the whole season so far, you've been like, Newcastle is shit.
If they could find a new manager for this team, I feel like they can actually kick on, like, at any point in the season. But for now, I'm going to go with Arsenal 2-0.
Well, you know, there's a great Dutch manager, former Ajax head coach, that's available now.
Get into the next game, Matt.
All right, next up, now we're moving to the 8 a.m. games. These times are weird to me because new daylight savings time changes. So this game would have been on 4:30, the Arsenal game.
Is this our last Monday recording?
Actually, I need to talk to you about that after we get off work.
Okay, cool.
Sneak
peek, guys. We may not be here on Monday. We may be a Sunday or Tuesday guy.
Have to shoot for Monday. So inside baseball, I have something that's come up on Sunday, and I don't want to make you subject to my schedule. I'm going to try and take some time off work after we get off and confirm if I can record on Monday or Tuesday.
Gotcha.
Because there is an important Monday game coming up that I do want to recover in the podcast that I would like to cover if we can do Monday or Tuesday, but I got to do some finagling on the computer, and that's what I was going to talk to you about when we're done.
Gotcha.
All right, so next up, the 8 a.m. games, the first one I'm going to cover is Brighton at Liverpool.
This game is going to be fun to watch.
I think Brighton is going to be cursed to get another 2-2 draw.
I actually sort of agree with you here. I do think Liverpool find a way, but I don't think they find the scoreline. I'm going to go with Matt. 2-1 to the goals away.
Oh, that's a bull at Anfield.
I think Hurzler beat the goofy out of every single player in that locker room after the 90-minute heartbreak that they suffered, and I think they're going to go out there and punch Liverpool.
They're going to be like Arsenal, how they got disciplined with all those red cards. You could see this team was actually thinking before they just did things this weekend.
Yes.
Okay.
And this is definitely a reactionary pick, but I have
you have the goals winning, and I have Brighton getting a draw. Okay.
Yeah, Liverpool's going to win 4-0 now.
All right, another El Dumpster Co. Leicester at Ipswich.
I got
the Foxes 2-1. The Foxes over my mom's tractor, boys.
Matthew's mom, I'm with you. Let's go Ipswich 7-1.
I hope I'm wrong. I want you and my mom to laugh at me.
There we go.
I want you to scorn me. But what do you really think it is? Realistically, I'm thinking like the reverse of my score, 2-1 to the Ipswich.
I'm going 1-1 draw. 1-1 draw.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Now we have Manchester City traveling north to face our friend, Areola the Cherry Prince, on the south coast. Reese, I want you to go first because I know you love Areola more than me. I love him, but I'm like a 6. You're like an 8.
A 9.
Oh, there we go.
A Cherry Playhouse special is happening on 8 a.m. on Saturday. Matt, I don't think it goes well for Bournemouth, but I think they put up a fight 3-2.
I got City 1-0.
Yeah, it's going to be close.
I think that they're going to use Erling Haaland like the battle ram off of Lord of the Rings and get him up to the gate, and he's just going to smash one in. He's going to have something else. Like, his shorts are going to get ripped, or his shoes are going to get cut or something.
And then it's
going to
go trending for you, and then it's going to piss you off again.
Erling Haaland, taking the slings and arrows for everyone.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, next up we have Everton at Southampton, another El Dumpster Go.
Big game for Southampton. This sort of determines their season already. They're 0-1-8 on the season. Ooh. 1 draw, 8 losses.
What's Everton at? I think they got 2 wins.
2 wins, 3 draws, 4 losses. So this is a must-win for Southampton regardless. Okay. But I am going to go Everton 2-0.
I got Everton 2-1.
Yep.
All right, the last of the 8 a.m. games is West Ham traveling to Nottingham.
This is going to be an interesting game. I am going to go Forest, and I'm going to go with 2-1 to Forest.
2-0 for me.
There you go.
We're in the same, basically the same. You think West Ham's going to get a sympathy goal at the end?
Yeah, I can see that. I just am, I'm starting to believe in this. Matt, just really quickly, while we're here, you know, okay. I know you got some things to do. I'll keep this quick. With what's happening to City, them not looking great, Liverpool don't look like the old Liverpool. They have a little bit of holes in their game. Mm-hmm. Midfield's a little questionable. Left back is questionable. Arsenal are battling injuries. Why not a team like Forest? Or the goals of Seagulls or a Villa. Why can't they? Why not them to go ahead and get into that title race with the big guns of Arsenal and Pools and City?
I would love it if Forest did it.
Yeah.
Like, but we even never hear the end of it from the Forest fans if they do.
That would piss you off so much.
Oh, no. It wouldn't even make me mad. But if they win it, I would be like, wow, we really are trash.
I don't know, man. Like, watching all these teams play, it's just like, why not one of these teams, man? A little Leicester type of season could be in the works here if it continues.
Are you ready to head on?
Let's do it.
All right. Now we're going to the 10:30 a.m. game. Another odd, like, Saturday, like, what do you call that? Like, the
time zone? Time?
No, like, the game that is the centerpiece, the spotlight game.
The main event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crystal Palace traveled to Wolves.
Yeah.
Weird. We've had Manchester City Bournemouth, which is a bigger game to me, and Arsenal Newcastle are both better games. I mean, Arsenal's getting the opener.
Liverpool Brighton, Forest, and West Ham.
I mean, if this is WrestleMania, this is like really weird placement.
I would take Forest and West Ham over this game too.
Yeah,
but
me too.
In this one, Matt, I'm finally going to give Wolves their flowers. I know Palace just came off a huge win against Spurs.
Of you.
I know, but I feel like Wolves just need to get something for them. 1-0 to Wolves.
Kayla, the Super Eagle, 2-0 to Crystal Palace.
Let's do it.
All right, you ready to move on to Sunday?
Let's do it.
All right, Sunday, 7 a.m. slate, we have Villa at Spurs. Big game.
Should be the Saturday.
Big game feel.
Should have been the Saturday main event.
Sunday.
This game's going to be huge. Tottenham need to play better. That was a terrible
performance. And they're at home.
Yeah.
They have a decent record at home from what I understand.
This is going to be a shootout in my opinion. I'm going to go 4-3 to Spurs.
2-2.
Yeah, I think that's a more fair result.
I think that they're going to break on, and I'm not doing a Lord of the Rings reference. They're going to break and get through Villa's defense, but then Unai is going to Unai it and get them back in it and crush their dreams, which he likes to do.
I could see it. The Night King for
He likes to spread darkness over the lands. All right, the 9:30 a.m. Sunday game. A big, well, is this a big game?
No.
Chelsea at United? Chelsea at the crumbling ruins of Old Trafford?
It's a big game because the new manager bounce is a real thing.
But it's not a new manager bounce. It's an interim manager.
As of yet. We have yet to see.
Well, they're not sticking with, who's the guy who's the assistant?
Van Nistelrooy.
They're not sticking with Van Nistelrooy because they've already basically put out feelers to other managers.
Yeah, made him public too.
Yeah, made him public. So Van Nistelrooy knows he is an interim guy.
Who do you have in this game?
I have Chelsea 4, Man United 1.
Wow. United, you actually play us pretty well when we play them historically. I'm going to go with a...
I made this prediction before Ten Hag got fired.
It's okay. I'm going to go with a 1-1 draw.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so the Monday 1 p.m. game, we have Brentford, the Bees of Thomas Frank versus Fulham. At Fulham, a West London derby for a 1 p.m. on a Monday.
November 4th is my 6-year anniversary with my partner. Love you very much, Ashley.
Aww.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, wait. Maybe we can't record next Monday.
Oh, yeah, no. Let's do Tuesday then. Let's see if the calendar lines up. I can't do Sunday, so we can do Tuesday.
We'll figure it out, guys.
Yeah, we'll do Tuesday or Wednesday.
Gotcha.
I prefer Tuesday just because I have to travel. Oh, but I'm going to be on my new schedule, so it'll be different.
Hey, either way is good with me, man. On this one, I'm going to go with a 2-2 draw. Sorry.
I'm going to go for a 0-0 draw, but I think that we're going to see like a lot of goals that should have been in VARs involved.
A lot of hands on heads.
Yeah.
Yeah, gotcha. A lot of hands on heads after you missed the big one.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Guys, that wraps up our reviews and previews of the upcoming week. We've had a very dramatic football weekend. It's only going to get more dramatic as the season rails on.
I got a quick stoppage down for you. Yeah. So we didn't cover. Rodri today won the Ballon d'Or. The Real Madrid did not send a contingent. And the Manchester United players up for the Ballon d'Or had to catch a ride on the Manchester City Trump, what do you call it?
They didn't actually get on that ride.
Oh, they didn't?
They were declined by City because it was full. But because of cost-saving measures, they did not want to send Manu and Garnacho.
So did they have to pay to fly on their own?
They ended up probably having to spend some money. Poor Ineos, man. Welcome to the big leagues, guys. You guys have to pay.
This ain't the Greek league. You got to pay money. Yep. You got to spend money to make money. But my question.
Yes.
So it apparently is leaked. It leaked that Roger was going to win. Do you think the other players that skipped were right to skip? And do you think Roger deserved it? Double question.
Let me start by saying I think this award has become pointless because there's not really individual football anymore. It's more of like a system sort of football. As we talked about with Eden Hazard when he retired, you called it as jazz in a game of techno or electric nowadays. Yeah. And I thought that was very fitting. So let me start there. Two, if Vinny felt like he was been a if he just felt like not going because he knew he was going to lose, fair to him. But if he's telling everybody or everyone's wanting to support, quote unquote, support him because he's petty about losing, that's just weird in my opinion. Like, as you said pre-podcast, Messi and Ronaldo went to every single Ballon d'Or, and if it wasn't for an Italian dude on Twitter dropping news hours before it happens, Vinny probably would have gone. I'm sure he would not have made a...
Fabrizio?
Yes. I had to mute him on Twitter, dude.
Fabrizio, can you not do that?
Yeah.
It's like, one thing's transfer news, but another thing would be like if he goes 2-2, Liverpool, Arsenal, before the game kicks off. It's like...
I agree with you, and
it's just like a comedian shouldn't open up for a political event.
Yeah,
Because it's not the right place for it. Awards, it's not a competition. Just because you know who's going to win doesn't mean you should say it. Sorry,
right. I completely agree with you. And for him to
like, I don't even know who won the young boy, and I hate that term.
That was Lamine Yamal.
Oh, of course, I forgot he was up for it.
The king himself.
Yes,
the king to be. Sure, sorry. But yeah, I don't think it depends on what Vinny's motives were. From what it sounds like, is he was petty about it, and if that's a shame to you, honestly, yeah. You shouldn't be petty about losing an individual award if you're all about quote unquote the team. So I don't know.
Unless he had some ridiculous thing in his contract that if he gets it,
his
sponsorships in Real Madrid pay him like the small country's GDP.
Exactly.
Like I'm gonna be honest with you, man. If I'm gonna lose, like say some crazy like $70 million. If I won that award, I got $70 million. I'm not saying this is the case. I think I would be petty like Vinny too.
Yeah, I can't blame you. And
I'm generational wealth for my family and friends, and me and all my descendants.
But you're still making plenty of money right where you're at.
No, I know, but I'm saying like if Fabrizio leaking it was in poor form.
Yeah, and that's the thing is I had to mute Fabrizio after that because it just sort of has left a bad taste in my mouth. If Vinny found out via Fabrizio, it's just weird. It's all weird, and it's such a... We live in such a social media world. I know we're talking on social media technically, but like... In today's world, everything is just...
And we try not to be super reactionary, guys. Yeah. We could come out here and just
have his brief Arteta thoughts, but it seems like he's cooled him after getting off of work.
Well, me did the same job for a while. I had I've had worse Mondays, but I haven't had worse Mondays after being emotionally broken.
Yeah.
That game broke me. And Tom came home, my brother came home, and he thought Arsenal had won. And he starts talking to me about something stupid to do with Dungeons & Dragons. I time out. I go, hey, pal, Arsenal gave up a winning goal to that guy I don't like in the last minutes. I like Mo Salah as a player. I hate him as an opponent.
Yeah.
And
it's like Bruno.
It's
like Bruno.
Yeah. And I told him, I'm like, I'm going to be, may seem cheery and happy, but there is some darkness underlying me right now flying around. Just be warned, if I snap, it's not you. It's Mo Salah.
And
the Egyptian king.
You know what? You know what? You know what? You said emotionally broke you and it was a draw. I think Arteta has indulged in the fucking standards to you, sir. That's what I like to see, is he has got you to the point where you are fucking disappointed in the standards that you saw over the weekend, lad. Over the weekend, we did not see the fucking standard of goals. But guess what? It emotionally broke you because you drawed one of the best teams in the fucking world, lad.
And we could have won it. And this is the second time it's happened. The two best teams are two best opponents we've won, and then we've drawn it.
But that is just the standard that Arteta's built.
And your fans, because we are friends, your social media
leaks into yours.
Leaks into mine, because I send you videos, and when you send a video, Instagram is like, he liked it.
Yeah, let's see.
So I get a lot of your Chelsea fans who they've kind of like infected me with the, if you don't win a trophy, you're shit.
And that's the thing, is like,
and I never thought that, but now we're to the point where if we don't win something, a tier one or tier two trophy, we need to win something, man. Yep. It's been 5 years.
Let's close it out on this.
Yeah.
Social media as a
whole.
Is
the devil.
Yes. And it has, as a whole, has ruined any sort of dispute or debate you can have with anybody. Because
some twat can make a video.
Not even that. Like, if I say Arsenal.
Sorry, guys. I don't like that word. It just slipped out.
You could say Arsenal is going to win the league this season. And then, like, you could provide genuine argument as to why. Second place last two seasons have given City a run.
Calafiori's been transferred from Marino to fill the gaps in the midfield last year.
Some goofball will counter with, but they haven't won the Premier League in 20 years. And then you get, like, engagements off it, because these 12-year-olds like to laugh at stupid shit. So it's like, you guys need to start talking football, brothers. Talk football. That is why I'm not on social media anymore.
I'm doing it for my writing, I'm going to stop except for my writing.
Join me.
To building my following for my book that I've got 75% done with.
Matt, do you have any further stoppage
time? No, that was just my stoppage time, which we didn't cover the big news that
Rodri deserved
the deserving player won the Ballon d'Or.
Yes. Congratulations.
After last year's crap fest.
Yes. Congratulations to Rodri. Oh.
And congratulations on 1 year of podcasting. We passed our 1 year anniversary and didn't say anything. We recorded on October 15th, 2 days after my birthday.
Sheesh. Guys, on that note, hopefully we're here for another year. We appreciate you guys. We will see you next week at some point. I apologize what day it will be, out of nowhere, possibly.
Yeah, we'll discuss it. It's just both our schedules. It's one of those things where it's lining up. We may have to try a Zoom podcast for the first time ever. We prefer to do it in person.
Yep. But we'll get back to you guys on that. We hope you have a good rest of your week. Matt,
live long and watch some football, lads.